It is 22 minutes past the hour. It's my privilege to present the distinguished doctor, Dr. Kapreet Barn, who is the director of heart failure at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The topic this half hour, of course, is heart failure. And very important question was on the table right before the break, Dr. Barn. What does it mean to be diagnosed with heart failure?
Well, obviously, the diagnosis of heart failure means that your heart is not matching the demands of your body, and that's why you're having symptoms. So usually what that means is you need to, if you're having those symptoms like shortness of breath, weight gain, not feeling good, feeling tired all the time, fatigue, these symptoms can obviously happen from other conditions too, but you really need to seek care with your doctors, and then they'll perform tests, blood work, as well as take pictures of the heart. And if indeed you have heart failure, then you'll go through a process of diagnosis, meaning we look for things that we can find to reverse the course. Like if you have a blockage, we'll try to fix it. If there's an inflammation, we can give you medications. If there's some sort of other disease process, so we look for things we can use, we can treat to reverse it. And also you go on a treatment plan, as well as some patients may also need a defibrillator pacemaker. So it's a multi-specialty approach led by the advanced heart failure cardiologist to treat these type of to treat the patients once you're diagnosed. So,
Dr. Barn, I'm not sure if this is a good follow up or not, but I was just thinking about it, listening to you. Is heart failure ruled in, or are other things ruled out and then left as heart failure?
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding your question.
Yeah, it's probably not a great question, but I'll try it again. Is heart failure actually ruled in, or do you rule all kinds of other things out and left standing is heart failure?
So I'll just explain the process. So let's say somebody's getting short of breath and they have symptoms like that, and they go to their cardiologist and they do tests and they find out that the heart's pumping okay and relaxing okay. So you've sort of ruled out heart failure as the cause for those symptoms. And then we usually encourage the patients to follow up with their primary doctor to look for other things like any hormonal issues or kidney problems or liver problems, other things that can cause similar symptoms. So that's sort of the process. So I guess you can say it's actually both, right?
Yeah.
If you have it, then you rule in. If you don't have it, you rule it out. So that's the process usually.
Very good. Thank you for taking that follow-up, blind follow-up. In terms of symptoms, I think you covered them. How do these differ from other diseases?
That's the thing with heart failure. A lot of the symptoms overlap with other things like cancer, thyroid issues, liver problems, kidney problems. So really, if you're having these symptoms, you should seek care with your physicians. So regardless of heart failure or not, if you're having these type of symptoms where you're short of breath, things you could do 2 years ago you can't do anymore, your legs are swollen, you feel wiped out, you're gaining weight, and you know something is wrong, you need to seek care with your physician so they can start looking for not just heart failure, if there's anything else that's going on. And some people have both. They can have two things going on or three things going on at the same time. So I think the first step is, if you're experiencing these symptoms, whoever your physician is, if you don't have a physician, you know, contact a physician, make an appointment. If you're really sick, sometimes he tells you to come to the hospital directly and get that testing done right away. So that depends on your symptoms. But the first step is, if you're having any of these symptoms, it's just good care to see a physician and get examined and get some tests done.
Dr. Barn, as you know, many of your listeners, they know about cancer and stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, stage 4. I think that's very familiar with almost everyone that's listening. Does heart failure have stages?
Absolutely. Just so you know, just like cancer, we stage heart failure too. Because the reason we stage it is because it tells us where you are in your disease process, how much time you have, and also, depending on the severity, it changes our treatment plan. So, you know, with heart failure, we have stage A through D. A is someone who's at risk for having heart failure, and D is as bad as that the heart has failed to the point where they need a transplant or a heart pump, and B and C is in the middle. So really, these stages help us, tell us how the patient's going to do in the coming years, and also helps us what treatment strategy we need to give them. Obviously, stage A will need something lighter, whereas stage D will need everything, including a possible heart transplant and a heart pump.
Here's an item that I think is very relatable to anybody that's ever heard the words that they have heart failure. They're in heart failure. They have heart failure. Can heart failure be reversed or cured?
Yeah, so that's what, if you notice, when you said diagnosis of heart failure, there are patients than in a year that they come in with weak hearts and we fix a blockage and the heart muscle gets better, or they have inflammation, which we can give medications and treat that, or they have some sort of a stress that causes the heart and we can treat that with medications. And even in general, all comers, if you have heart failure, if you take the pills, your heart muscle does get stronger for even average patients. So, but there are things we look for, and there are reversible causes, like sometimes pregnancy can cause it, and we can treat through that. But then there are causes you'll have heart failure forever. There's not much we can do except just treat you with medications. Genetics is a big one, where people have genes in their families where they're prone to developing bad hearts or hearts that don't relax properly, and that's not their fault. They're born with those genes, and if you have that, we can't change the course of the weakening of the heart muscle, but we can give you medications and treat you through that. So there are causes that we can fix things, but then there are causes we cannot, and that's why you have to see a specialist to sort through all that to figure out what's the best treatment plan for you, and this individualized according to your risk factors.
I've never ever heard of early detection of anything medical-wise being a bad thing. How important is the earliest detection with respect to heart failure?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, in the last 10 to 15 years, there's a lot of attention being paid that should we catch heart failure earlier, and because then we can treat the patients earlier and give them longevity. So there are blood tests we can do to pick up early. When the heart muscle damages, it leaks certain proteins into the bloodstream, and those proteins can be detected with blood work. And there are some early blood work signs that we can, especially patient populations that are very prone to getting heart failure, right? If you have high blood pressure, if you have diabetes, you know those patients will have heart failure. Maybe those patients can be screened with a blood work, and then we can pick up things. So there is a lot of science and research going on with that, and I do think that there will be better protein or markers that we can use in the future.
What type of quality of life can a person have with heart failure?
Yeah, so, like I said, we routinely see patients who come in short of breath, tired, fatigued, leg swelling, and then we take the fluid off of them, put them on all the good medications that help them live longer. And these medications work. A vast majority of them will sort of go back to where they were, a year ago or 6 months ago. And that's where the stages come in, right? And if you respond to the medications, you can live years. But if you don't respond to the medications, then those people, as you know, are progressing very rapidly, and those type of patients, you have to start talking about devices and transplant. So in the short, what I'm saying is that regardless of the stage, every therapy we have will improve your symptoms. And how much improvement depends a lot on the patient and their risk factors and comorbidities.
What about diet? I mean, it would sound to me like that's really important if you're dealing with someone with heart failure.
Right.
And also exercise, which I think is awesome, obviously. But do people with heart failure worry, oh, my gosh, if I exercise, how do I know my limits? How do I know the difference between a heart rate, get a heart rate going that's good for me versus me passing out or something? Talk about diet and exercise and how that is employed.
So part of the your heart's job is to pump blood to your organs, especially your kidneys, so we can regulate our fluid and sodium. And so when your heart muscle gets weak, you tend to retain salt and fluid, and that's why you get short of breath, because you have extra fluid on your body. That's essentially part of the reason why you have symptoms. So, we don't really have a specific diet, but what we recommend is a low-salt, low-fluid diet, because if you keep drinking 2 gallons of water, my pills are not going to work, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to limit what goes in your mouth so we can limit the salt and the fluid, and then the pills work actually better. So that's essentially what we go for. And I always joke around with patients or tell them that basically something tastes really good before you put it in your mouth, please double check, because usually those are the things you want to stay away from, burgers, pizzas, and fries. So you don't want to eat a lot of fried food because there's a lot of salt in it. So low salt, low fluid diet is what we recommend. As far as exercise, we actually encourage exercise. We actually, a lot of times when we see patients, they've been sick for 6 months, a year, not only do they have heart failure, they also get deconditioned, right? If you don't do anything, your muscles get weak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes we actually put them in rehabilitation programs where they go for an hour, 3 times a week. So I think exercise is a lot of it depends on age. I've noticed my younger patients tend to want to do a lot more than our older patients. But what I tell people is that in general, 30 minutes of activity on top of whatever you do is what we recommend. That could be like walking, like jogging. What we don't want you to do is competitive sports or heavy lifting. So lightweight training, riding a bicycle, walking, fast walking, light jog, we recommend that. It's actually good for you. Even with the weak heart, even though exercise is not going to improve your heart muscle, but you can train that weak heart and get more out of that weak heart. So it's actually a part of our treatment plan. We recommend exercise. So exercise is actually very good for your heart. And so like I said, just no competitive sports and heavy lifting, but you know, your day-to-day activities, the walking, bicycle, light jog, lightweight training, these, we encourage that.
My short answer to this would be because you go see Deborah Heart and Lung Center because of my absolute unconditional belief in this amazing hospital. But who should you see for heart failure and why?
Yeah, so if you're having these symptoms, I think I would recommend that you seek any physician that you, your primary care doctor. And once they've diagnosed you with heart failure, then I think you definitely need to go to the regional advanced heart failure specialist, because I think I've given this analogy, you know, to you before that, when somebody sees a piano, a normal person sees a piano, but a musician sees something totally different, right?
Yeah.
That's essentially what advanced heart failure cardiologists are, that yes, you have heart failure. If you go to any doctor, they know you have heart failure, but our approach and our treatment strategies are totally different compared to our other colleagues. So I think, especially once you've been diagnosed with a weakened heart muscle or a heart muscle that doesn't relax, you should definitely see a regional advanced heart failure cardiologist at least once, because they can get you on the treatment plan and then you can follow with your regular cardiologist in the community. So I think I strongly recommend at least one visit in their life to see an advanced heart failure cardiologist. But if you're having a lot of symptoms, like you can't do your day-to-day activity despite being on medicines, then you definitely need to see an advanced heart failure cardiologist. So I think a starting point is, if you're having those symptoms, is to seek care with any physician or hospital in your region. And once they've diagnosed you, that would be the strategy I would recommend.
Dr. Barron, I know that we're towards the end of today's program with you, but I want to ask you to talk about, to your listeners, the team approach at Deborah Heart and Lung Center relative to treating heart failure.
Yeah, so, you know, I if you want to give me an analogy, think of it like a football team, right, where you have the coach and the quarterback and the team. So, you know, heart failure is sort of a team approach. It's not a one-person show, but it's, think of the advanced heart failure cardiologist maybe as a coach, and then you have your team that executes the plan. So with the, especially if you need defibrillators, devices, it's not a one-person show. We get help from our proceduralists, like interventional cardiologists put stents in, they can put in temporary pumps in for us, our electrophysiologists, they put in the defibrillators, and of course our surgeons, they help us with the transplant and the heart pump. So it's a team approach where the advanced heart failure cardiologist sort of comes up with the treatment plan, and that's how we execute. So we're very lucky at Deborah that I have excellent team here. Our surgical team, led by Dr. Burns, is excellent. Dr. Crevisio is our electrophysiologist team, and Dr. Kovas, our cath team. So we have an excellent team. We also have, you know, excellent inpatient care, and that's what's made our program, I think, top-notch, is because of the team that we have here. And, you know, we're very fortunate to provide this care in the region. We're the only center in South Jersey that provides one-stop shop where you come in and you can get everything done here. So I think, you know, if a patient needs help, you know, they can reach out to us, and once they come here, we'll come up with a treatment plan and individualized care for them.
We have been visiting with the distinguished Dr. Kulpreet Barron, who is the director of heart failure at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, and you can reach them on the web at demanddeborah.org. What a great discussion. What important information you've imparted. Dr. Barron, have a great day. Thanks for your expertise. Thanks for all the lives that you're saving, and I look forward to our next visit together.
Absolutely looking forward to it, and thank you for giving me your time.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.